You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to a Friday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, 106.3 FM, and 102.3 FM, in addition to various platforms. I am Mark Dukes. I am coming to you from my Skype studio, my residence. Buttons, my friend, back in the studio, making everything go as smoothly as possible. Want to say hi to you, Buttons, and I'm curious about Tonks, your new dog. Is she potty trained yet?
You know, she is getting there. She has slept through the night last night, which is fantastic, and she's asking it to go outside every couple hours. So we are making progress. Maybe one accident inside the house. So we're not doing too bad for an eight-week-old.
You're doing very well, and thanks for introducing us to Tonks earlier in the week. And she will continue to be a part of the show. Lot to get to today on today's edition as we wrap up the first week of August 2020. Various headlines, a ton of COVID news, mixed bag in that regard. And then the back half of the program, we're going to get to our Friday topic, which I've already received feedback on my Facebook page. Our topic today is your most memorable single plays or moments in sports history. Could be a variety of different things in professional, college, high school ranks, maybe your own personal experiences with a hole-in-one or a 300 game in bowling or what have you. So we'll get to that at the back half of the hour. 319-366-1600 is our phone and text line. Headlines of the day. Let's start with the PGA Championship at Harding Park in San Francisco. And right now, Hao Tung Lee of China shot a 5-under par 65. He currently holds a 2-stroke lead at 8-under par over Tommy Fleetwood, who is completing his 18th hole. Fleetwood 6-under on the day. Right behind them at 5-under par, Cameron Champ completing his last hole as we speak. He's 6-under on the day and 5-under par for the tournament. Also at 5-under, Paul Casey, who is nearing completion of his play. Jason Day just getting underway. And then we have a group at 4-under par, and that includes Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson, who shot that 4-under par 66 yesterday in the first round. Zach will go off at 3:35 Central Time, and we will bring you updates on his play, as will Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn on their show that will run from 4 to 6. So there's your PGA update as we speak. In the Iowa football camp, Oliver Martin, the much-heralded wide receiver out of Iowa City West, the subject of an intense recruiting battle back when he was coming out of high school. Iowa was in late, but Oliver Martin chose Michigan, saw the playing field his first year, but then whether it was homesickness or what have you, playing time, he decided to transfer to Iowa. And since he's been at Iowa, he's seen limited playing time. He caught a touchdown pass in the season opener last year against Miami of Ohio, but then really saw just spot duty the rest of the season. And really Iowa loaded as it ever has been at the wide receiver position. So Oliver Martin entering the transfer portal, and we certainly hope he lands in a favorable spot, wherever that may be. We'll give you that news as we head down the road. But very interesting with Oliver Martin, who was, You know, folks, when he decided to go to Iowa to transfer from Michigan, thought he was going to be, you know, a big, big piece of that offense, and that just has not transpired. And Buttons, I don't know if you followed his career in progress, but this is a very interesting story in my mind, the fact that he transferred from Michigan to Iowa, and everyone thought that, boy, this is great news, and it was at the time. I was among those who said, you know, this is a great pickup, but it just hasn't worked out for Oliver Martin at Iowa.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, the wide receiver room is just loaded this year with Smith Marset, Brandon Smith, and I think Tyrone Tracy, just name a few. But once Smith and Smith Marset leave in 2021, they need that replacement. And I was really hoping that Martin was going to be that replacement for him in the long run.
Yeah. In Eastern Iowa today, news that, of course, it was previously announced that the Major League Baseball game at the Field of Dreams, second site, which Major League Baseball built, that game is not going to go off. It was scheduled this coming Thursday. And now news that the stadium, the temporary stadium, is being torn down, but plans are to rebuild it in 2021 in anticipation of another game, hopefully involving the Chicago White Sox. But a kind of a head scratcher if that's the case, that it's going to be torn down and then rebuilt, Buttons.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't really make any sense for me unless it is easily rebuilt with not a lot of financial support, not a lot of finances involved. But on the bright side, they are grooming that field until 2021. So we still have that game to look forward to. They're just going to have more construction on the way.
319-366-1600, our text and phone line. And we'll see what happens with the Field of Dreams game in 2021. Buttons, 13 years ago, I was 50 years old. How old were you?
13 years ago, that would have been 2007. So I would have been 8 years old.
Okay. Do you remember on this date, 13 years ago, we had a new all-time home run leader in Major League Baseball? Barry Bonds hit the 756th home run of his career, surpassing Hank Aaron on that all-time home run list. I don't expect you to remember it, but many people do out there. And from a historical standpoint, nobody wanted Hank Aaron to surpass Babe Ruth with number 715 back in the day, which he did, and then went on to hit 755 total home runs. And for different reasons, 13 years ago, Barry Bonds, because of steroids, because of the love of Hank Aaron, what have you, when Bonds broke Aaron's record, it was polarizing for different reasons, as I recall. Perhaps others had different memories of what happened with Bonds. 319-366-1600, if you do. And I just think a lot of folks didn't really appreciate Aaron being supplanted as the all-time home run king.
You know, back in 2007, when I was just 8 years old, I do remember him breaking the record. And I remember it would have been my uncle just complaining about it from, I forgot whatever, between his love for Hank Aaron or steroids or what have you, like you said. But I remember it vividly just because it was an outstanding time in MLB.
So there you have it, an anniversary of sorts in Major League Baseball. And plenty of news in Major League Baseball. We're going to get to that in a minute. But Buttons, towards the back half of our program yesterday with Scott Unash. Scott, by the way, getting ready for another, what should be a terrific night of racing at Hawkeye Downs. But the news came down of Iowa's decision on crowd size and protocols for what we hope will be home football games, five of them this coming season. And that includes no more than 15,000 fans in the stadium. No season tickets this year, single game tickets only. A limited number of students apparently will have access to tickets. There'll be social distancing throughout the stands. Face masks must be worn. The University of Lots are going to be limited to 50% capacity. And of course, those parking areas on private property, there's not much the university can do to control those possible tailgates. But as we've said many times, this is what we know now. It follows other protocols that have been put in place by other schools in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Illinois, among those limiting fans in the stadium. Yesterday, Penn State announced that there will be no fans in the stands. So whether this holds true at Iowa remains to be seen, but this is what we know right now. And if you have an opinion on that, perhaps you're a season ticket holder, perhaps you have you're interested in going to a game and are going to purchase a single game ticket, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. And I realize there are folks, probably many, who aren't really interested in going to a football game in person. What say you, Buttons?
If I could get tickets, I would definitely go and see that football game. Because, you know, 2020, it's been just a crazy year to say the least, and I could really go for some live football. And seeing that a 70,000 stadium will have 10,000 to 15,000 fans, I feel comfortable with it with a mask on.
Yeah, I think some folks are in your camp. Others certainly aren't. And we'll see by the time the season kicks off, Iowa against Maryland, in that revised schedule season opener. And Maryland is in the news today as we begin our mandatory COVID-19 section, Buttons. And that is that quarterback Josh Jackson and five others, including two starting offensive linemen, are going to quote-unquote opt out of this season. Those six join Purdue wide receiver Rondale Moore, Michigan State offensive tackle Jordan Reed, as the number continues to grow a bit in those college players that are going to opt out. And I have to say that they're for different reasons. I mean, Rondale Moore is going to graduate in 2.5 years. And as a bona fide NFL player, and whether it's he mentioned it's due to the uncertainty over COVID-19, but he also has injury concerns. He suffered an injury last year, I think, against Iowa, and knocked him out for the season and limited his campaign to 4 games. But he's got a lot of earning potential in the NFL, and others that have opted out have cited maybe not only concerns over COVID-19, but family concerns, whether their parents or brothers and sisters or what have you have underlying conditions, and they feel it's better to sit out this season. So we have that news in college football, plus a couple others. The Pioneer League in the FCS, of which Drake is a member. It's really a nationwide conference. It's really one of the unique conferences out there in all of FCS or FBS. It's kind of a nationwide conference. You have University of San Diego. I mentioned Drake. You have Marist and others out east. But that league is going to opt out, one of our favorite phrases these days, and go to a spring season. And now it is rumored that the Missouri Valley Football Conference, of course, Northern Iowa involved there, the Missouri Valley Football Conference may follow suit and go, to a spring season as well. So it just looks like the entire FCS, I haven't done the numbers, the counting in terms of how many leagues are out there. I know several are opting out to the spring, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Missouri Valley Football Conference does. And man, thinking of a spring college football season, how does that sound?
It's weird to even think about, because football is predominantly a fall sport. It's really difficult for me to fathom right now, but it's going to happen. So I might as well just get used to it.
Yeah, and Iowa State is impacted by whatever the Missouri Valley Football Conference does as well. As you know, it was announced yesterday that Iowa State's non-conference game against Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV, has been rescheduled for 2030 of all years. Obviously, schools put their schedules together far in advance, but this game has moved 10 years off the grid, which leaves Ball State, which was recently added to replace the Cy-Hawk game on September 12th, I believe it is. And the other game is against South Dakota, which is a member of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. And if the MVC decides to go to the spring, that will leave only Ball State as that plus one in the 9+1 format that the Big 12 is going to use this year. So it seems to me that it's going to be Ball State and the rest of the Big 12 schedule for Iowa State. 319-366-1600. A couple texts coming in. 1345 on the text line. I wonder if they will use the limited numbers as an excuse to really jack up the prices of tickets. And that is a comment related to what we just discussed in terms of Iowa limiting seating at Kinnick Stadium. 1991, I just drove through Palo. Two ball games going on, very few masks, and little spacing. So you have that. Of course, it's an outdoor activity. But I used to play slow pitch at Palo. That brings back memories. 14-inch slow pitch. Wow, some great memories there. But I happened to meet my relatives who were playing a fast pitch game at Ellis Park a couple nights ago. Great to see them. That's beside the point. But I experienced the same thing. A smattering of people in the stands. No masks that I could see, or very few. Again, an outdoor activity. I think people socially distance a fair amount. But this is the no lecture program button, so I'm not going to get into the value of masks or whatever. It's just making an observation of what I've seen. So finally, on college football and COVID-19-related issues, is the Northwestern situation of the Big Ten. Now, as was reported prior, Northwestern had one positive test during workouts, and Coach Pat Fitzgerald decided to shut down those workouts, quarantine for a while. And now there's been a retesting and zero positive tests of 19 conducted. And it turns out that one positive test was a false positive, which brings up other news today. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine had a test yesterday, which he tested positive, tested again today. It was negative. And we've gone down this road before in terms of faulty testing. And folks, I'm not minimizing the pandemic by any means, but as a reasonable person, you have to wonder what's going on with testing. We've seen it in baseball. We've seen it a variety of different places. Now we see it at Northwestern. Now we see with the Ohio governor, false positives, which my understanding is that you get the test and you might have tested positive for something unrelated to the coronavirus. It might be the common cold. And I understand there's a positive negative as well. What I would like to see, and I've gone down this road before, but I want to emphasize, you cannot plan for what you cannot measure. And right now, whether it's the professional ranks, the colleges, soon to be high schools, football practice begins on Monday. I don't need to know names. I just want to know, give me a database, give me a spreadsheet of the positive tests. How many are asymptomatic? How many are minor symptoms? How many are moderate? How many are serious? How many hospitalizations? We don't have that data to analyze and consume right now. Until we do, I don't think we can make fully informed decisions about what is going on. We just don't have that data. And I'm not sure how, John Doe tests positive and the alarms go off like, it's a catastrophic. Well, oftentimes it's not. Unfortunately, sometimes it is. I get that. I'm sympathetic to that. But it bothers me that we don't have the data. And again, I don't need to know names. I just want to know categories. How many false positives? How many false negatives? Right on down the list that I just talked about. And it's only then that we can make informed decisions about how things are going forward. I don't know how you feel about it, Buttons, or folks out there, 319-366-1600. I think I'm a reasonably intelligent person, and I want to make decisions on facts, not opinions. And until we know those facts, I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you make a very valid point there that it's very hard to make these decisions with all these false negatives and false positives. And I think that's part of this new testing for COVID that came up within 3 or 4 months of the virus. And just like everything else, it's not 100% and it has to be worked out. But I agree with you. It's very hard to make informed decisions when you don't have 100% of the information.
319-366-1600. I think we need to get to our first break, Buttons. And then when we come back, we'll talk more about this and get to our topic right here on the Gym Class.
Hey guys, whether you're keeping things looking good around the house or taking it easy on the weekend, Vernon Village True Value has you covered.
Yeah, Jim. Like a Greenworks electric blower for just $29.99 or a Master Mechanic drill on sale for only $34.99.
You know it, Hal. And a 30-quart cooler is just $79.99. That's 50 bucks off.
For summer living, you know where to go. Right, audience?
Yeah.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Baseball is finally back for the 2020 season, and let's just say, we're all ready. Follow along as our twin squad looks to pick up where they left off last year.
Back it goes, deep it goes, and gone!
And some of this.
Swing and a miss, he got him. The Minnesota Twins, win it!
It's a season to remember how important Twins baseball truly is. One team, one territory, one season. The 2020 Minnesota Twins. Baseball is back.
And yet another major brand just announced it's halting all.
This time, it appears, major advertisers all over the country are refocusing their efforts on radio.
As an advertiser, you have to trust your partners to protect your brand's truth. Radio advertising.
Trusted to deliver your brand's truth.
Radio. It's on.
KGYM is proud to have the trust of so many local advertisers. We'd be honored to earn yours, too. Connect with us. sales@kzia.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Rommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Friday, August 7th version of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes with you today. Buttons in the studio. Scott Unas will be back with us on Monday. Just a reminder that Gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event. If selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. Go to kgymradio.com and click on Community MVP to get started. Let's return to a few pieces of COVID-19 news before we get to our topic buttons. And the Cubs and Cardinals, much anticipated. In fact, we are scheduled to cover carry the Cubs and Cardinals Sunday game on KGYM. That's a bit up in the air right now, as tonight's Cubs-Cardinals game is postponed. One St. Louis player has received a positive test, and so that game has been scrubbed. This is the 12th straight day of postponements in Major League Baseball. And actually, it's been the Cubs and the Cardinals who have been undisciplined. Cardinals and Marlins who have been undisciplined and not followed and the rules set down by Major League Baseball have strayed, and therefore positive tests have been the result. But other teams are impacted because other teams are on the schedule, so on and so forth. So we have a string of postponements now, and if we continue play, we're going to have a bunch of doubleheaders in the works, and that's going to be an interesting dynamic as well. So we'll see what happens going forward. And, you have to look at what the NBA has done, what the National Hockey League has done, what the WNBA has done. WNBA announcing today zero positive tests of 139 in its bubble. Those three sports operating in a bubble. They're playing regular season and playoff games in a bubble that includes, a couple different sites. And this is producing conversation about college basketball and whether we can develop a bubble for college basketball. I think that's all well and good and maybe a smart thing to consider. But you've got well over 300 college basketball programs on the men's side, not to mention the women's side. Obviously, various conferences. How many sites are you going to need? You're going to take these kids off campus and distance learn. There's so many aspects. It's not like the NBA, the NHL, the WNBA. I think it's a conversation to be had. But I think it's going to be very, very difficult to do that in college basketball across all the conferences. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in. Meanwhile, the opt-out deadline in the National Football League has passed. That was yesterday. A total of 69 players in the National Football League have decided to opt out of this coming season. And again, that's due to a variety of things. Perhaps the players themselves have underlying conditions, and certainly in recognition of what's going on with COVID-19. Perhaps wives, family members have those underlying conditions as well. So that's what we have in the National Football League right now. And by the way, players can still opt out if they have certain situations with themselves and families that crop up. So there you have it in the National Football League. And lastly, in the Southeastern Conference, which has announced a 10-game schedule, the SEC has announced it will test players twice a week, 6 days prior to a game and 3 days prior to a game, and the conference is going to require coaches wear face coverings on the sidelines. So there you have it. I mean, every day that has gone by, there's just been a mix of news on the COVID-19 front as it relates to sports. We feel obligated to bring you those pieces of information so you can consume them and digest them and form your own opinions about what all this means. So If you feel like Major League Baseball should be shut down, I'd like you to show your work, because 29, 30 other teams are saying, hey, we're doing the right thing. We've been very disciplined, and we're the Cubs, if you're a Cubs fan, you're leading the division and you have had zero positive tests since players have rejoined. You're doing the right thing. Why should the Cardinals and Marlins, why should be penalized by what they have done? I'm not sure how everybody feels about that, but I don't think the league should even be close to entertaining shutting down at this point. Maybe it will reach that point. I don't know. But we shall see. 7295 on the text line. Saw a Senators tweet, Chuck Grassley, by the way, stated you and I and NBC for football will play in the spring. And I think that's the vast opinion right now. Grassley probably absorbing what people have already said. But I have not seen an official announcement on that. Buttons, if you do, please let me know. But that's the rumor. I think there's a meeting Saturday, tomorrow, with the NBC, perhaps another conference as well, deciding particularly in the FCS as to what to do. 3:34 in the gym class. Mark Dukes, Buttons with you today. And Scott Unash, our leader, will be back on Monday for another week of the gym class. Right now, I would like to get into our topic, Buttons, and that is we want to hear about your most memorable single play or moment in sports history. What's etched in your mind and forever will be? I have a few. I'm sure you do have a few. Buttons, probably Cub related, but that's okay. some of mine are Twins related, but we'd like to know your most memorable single plays or moments in sports history, those that are etched in your mind, that will be forever. And I want to get to my Facebook page on which some folks have weighed in. And if I can get to that, I certainly will, but we shall see.
We do have a quick update.
All right, go ahead.
From Bob Nightingale, the St. Louis Cardinals and Cubs are expected to know within 2 hours whether they will play on Saturday and Sunday at Busch Stadium.
Within how many hours?
2 hours.
Okay, all right. That game tonight already postponed and scheduled to play Saturday and Sunday as well. Again, we're scheduled to carry that Sunday night game between the Cubs and Cardinals. And I'm sure Todd Bromekamp and Alex Kuhn will keep you updated on that during their show from 4 to 6. On my Facebook page regarding our topic question, our friend Eugene weighing in, I was at the Capital One Bowl, Tate to Holloway, after Jamarcus Russell had brought LSU back. And as I recall, folks, I think LSU used 3 quarterbacks in that game. Jamarcus Russell, featured number one overall National Football League draft pick, he did come in and rallied LSU into the lead. LSU chock full of NFL players on that team. But Drew Tate to Warren Holloway, one of the great moments in Iowa football history, as that a pass gave Iowa a victory in that Capital One Bowl. Ryan, on my Facebook page, the NFC Championship game in 2008 when Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald and the Cardinals performed a miracle, making a Super Bowl in my lifetime. Forever remember that game, finally seeing my beloved Cardinals going to the Super Bowl. Those are memories ever etched in Eugene and Ryan's mind. And I know we're getting some text here.
We have a phone call as well.
Excuse me?
We also have a couple phone calls.
Well, let's go to the phones. How about that?
Perfect. Here is Craig from Cedar Rapids.
Welcome in, Craig. What's etched in your mind?
Hi, Mark. How's it going?
Good.
Do you remember the Oakland Raiders had a quarterback by the name of Ken Stabler? And he was scrambling late in the game, against San Diego, and he threw a pass, and they recovered in the end zone. I believe it was called the Holy Roller.
Yeah, wasn't that the tight end? The name escapes me right now, who kind of kicked it into the end zone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Craig, thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Okay, Mark, go Hawks.
Next up, Buttons, direct us.
All righty. That was actually the one phone call. The other person left.
Sounds good. 74-52 on the text line. The Minnesota Miracle, Vikings and Saints. I'm not sure Cajun Troy, our Saints friend, or Chad, my friend, Saints fan, will appreciate that, but certainly a great memory for 74-52. 15-27, the Tuck Rule. As a Raiders fan, will always be in my mind. Wow, what a crusher. And wasn't that in the snow with Tom Brady? And what led to a variety of rules on quarterbacks. Is that the one I'm getting right,
yep,
I think?
Yeah. You are correct.
Yeah. Yep. 65-53 for a little local flavor. 1998 Washington women's basketball and the Phantom Basket. I still tell that story to this day. Washington Warrior women. You know, I don't remember that. Perhaps you can elaborate, 65-53. And also wanting to know when we're going to go bowling, but that's a story for a different day. But Robin Center Point also mentioning the Minnesota Miracle on the text line. 46-23, it ranked pretty high. Greenwood leading the Hawks out of the tunnel against Pittsburgh, also leaving early and being outside the stadium when Tate connected with Holloway. That has to hurt.
Has to hurt hard.
45-70. Keith Smart's shot to win the 1987 NCAA championship for Indiana and Bob Knight. That's very memorable in March Madness history. There's no question about that. And on my list, you talked about Tate to Holloway, and in a much different vein, but still similar. I was at Ohio Stadium in the 1980s when Chuck Hartley threw a desperation pass on fourth down to Marv Cook. Marv struggled into the end zone, and the Iowa Hawkeyes beat Ohio State, stunning a crowd of 90,000 people. I was on the field getting ready to go to the locker room anticipating an Iowa loss, but that play is forever etched in my mind and in the lore of Iowa football, and it eventually led to Earl Bruce's firing as Ohio State football coach. So that was quite a play, and you know, I'll always remember that. 72-95, Kale Sanderson ending with four NCAA titles and going 159-0. A distant second, Mark Perry's first NCAA title against Johnny Hendricks by getting a turn with under a minute to go in the match. These things I will never forget. 67-12, the 2002 Big Ten basketball tournament. Luke Recker's last second shot to beat Indiana in Indianapolis. 319-366-1600. Entertaining your most memorable single plays or moments in sports history. Those moments or plays that are forever etched in your mind. Buttons, I'm going to yield to you. What do you got?
Alrighty, this is a personal one for me, actually. December 26, 2012 was the day that I won the Little Cat tournament for my wrestling. Now, mind you, I was in, it would have been 7th grade at the time. But I remember that day, and I had one of the coaches from Kennedy High School coaching me that day. So it was one of the funnest times I have ever had, and that's what makes it so memorable for me, because I was wrestling against friends and people at school, so it was just a blast.
You could puff out your chest on Monday morning then, right?
Oh yeah, you could.
Did you continue in your wrestling career?
I dropped it after freshman year because I was pursuing other things at the time, and I really couldn't invest as much time as I wanted to.
I love 7540 on the text line, and the first one was on my list, certainly. 7540 says, two ends of the Iowa basketball spectrum, Pembroke Burroughs III and Steve Waite. Buttons, I know you're not old enough to remember either one of those, but Pembroke Burroughs was one of 2 7-footers for Jacksonville in 1969-70 season, the other being Artis Gilmore in Iowa, with a team that was fully equipped to win the national championship. It had gone undefeated in Big Ten play. John Johnson, Fred Brown, Glenn Vidnovic, Chad Calabria, right on down the line. And Pembroke Burroughs had a last-second tip-in to beat Iowa by a point, thus stopping Iowa from continuing further. And a couple days later in the consolation game, Iowa put up like 150 points on Notre Dame, taking it out on Notre Dame. But the second part of that, two ends of the basketball spectrum, Steve Waite. And, of course, that was Steve Waite's three-point play to take Iowa to the NCAA Final Four in 1980. Steve out of Iowa City West, and a very memorable day in the history of Iowa basketball. 87-21 on the text line. Local homeboy David Freeze, 2011 Game 6 home run against the Rangers. Well, I can equal or top that. Not a local boy, but one of my favorite memories. Game 6, 1991. Kirby Puckett, Minnesota Twins. Game-winning home run. And Jack Buck says, we'll see you tomorrow. And, of course, the next day, the Twins won their second World Series in 5 years. So that is similar, not the same, to 87-21. 76-33, Cubs and the Reds. Griffey hit one out, not a record breaker or anything, but to see a childhood favorite hit one out in person was great. Boy, that had to be a thrill. Ken Griffey Jr., amazing player. 46-23 on the text line. The day I heard that New Mexico hired Steve Alfraud, great day. I think a lot of folks share in that memory. 52-40 from Scott, 2018 Olympic women's hockey shootout win over Canada. Interesting what different people remember. Favorite sports moments, favorite single plays in history. It's really fun to go over a lot of these. Doug on the text line, Iowa and Minnesota football game where we Iowa fans were so loud, the visiting team received a penalty for too much noise at the Metrodome. Doug, I think that happened more than once, and I thought you were going to go down the road of carrying the goalposts out of the Metrodome after an Iowa victory, or maybe a couple's encounter in a bathroom. But at any rate, 12:38, Marvin McNutt's catch against Michigan State. And that was a game winner, a little slant pattern inside the 10-yard line. And I remember that day as well. Great throw, great catch, beating Michigan State. 94-16 on the text line, talking about most memorable single player moments in your experience with sports. 94-16, Christian Leitner's shot and catch, both for bad reasons. I take it, 94-16, not the Duke basketball fan, but that is one of the great plays, the great moments in NCAA basketball history. And Leitner catching that pass, turn around, makes a shot, and on goes Duke. Buttons, you have another one?
I do. I wasn't born yet, but I watched this one over and over a lot. Michael Jordan's final shot. June 14th, 1998. It was a very emotional shot. Now, you were alive, unlike I was. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember so many moments in in Jordan's career, including a push-off and game-winning shot. There were so many, almost too many to count. I'm going to offer one up, and those folks that you've listened to any length of time on the Gym Class here know I'm a golf fan, and I will forever remember not only Zach Johnson winning the Masters and the British Open, but Jack Nicklaus in his 40s, 1986 Masters, not only making the putt, birdie putt on 17 in that famous, lift of the putter as it went in, but afterwards, as he embraced his son, I think it was Jackie, who had caddied for him that day, marching off the green and eventually winning the Masters at, the ripe old age of 46, something like that. That was a tremendous moment, which I'll remember for quite some time. More text to get to, and really appreciate the interaction on the text line 319-366-1600, your favorite moments, plays in sports history. 6429 weighing in while watching the Miracle All Nights, not knowing it was on tape delay. Hearing KCRG anchor Doug Kreil spoil the ending during a tease for the 10 o'clock news. And that is a fact. It was going to be shown tape delayed, and then anchor Doug Kreil. Bruce Awney, if you're remembering this or listening, you may remember this as well. But yeah, Doug kind of spilled the beans as he teased the 10 o'clock news. And of course, the United States beating Russia in a semifinal, and then going on to win the gold medal. That was pretty good, yeah. 1573, they're coming in fast and furious. Let me get to as many as possible. Matt Stafford's game-winning touchdown against the Browns his rookie year after sitting out one play after dislocating his shoulder. True Lions fan there, that's for sure. 0-2-1-1. Christian McCaffrey running for 3,000 yards on Iowa. I'll never forget that. Of course, that was in the bowl game, and we know what McCaffrey has become. He's widely regarded as the number one fantasy football pick by many, including our good friend Chris Liss. 33-47 weighing in again with the Outback Bowl catch, Tate to Holloway. 63-60. Oh, I was the safety when. How about the safety who took out the goalpost at Michigan State? I think his name was Ron Hawley. Am I right about that, listeners? Ron Hawley? And that was before the goalposts were where they are right now. And Hawley actually knocked over the goalposts at Michigan State. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think his name is Ron Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y. Folks, what about the most memorable moment in Iowa football history? Where are you? You've got to weigh in there on that, I would think. 80-74, Hayden Fry's first play call from scrimmage was a pass. The crowd went crazy. I sat up in the stands and couldn't believe it. Or said that was against Indiana in 1979. Iowa led big at halftime, but Lee Corso's crew from the Hoosiers came back and beat Iowa. I won't mention Mario Pace's name, the defensive back who allowed the winning touchdown, but that was the case. And yeah, there were flea flickers and things that Iowa had never seen under Bob Cummings. 87-21. 2010, Ali Farouk Maness shot that beat Kansas. Forever etched in the mind of 87-21. And in the eyes of many, not only Northern Iowa fans, but many in this state and in Kansas, I suppose. 99-84, Alex Thompson's three-pointer against Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. class saying, no, 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 yes, 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 moment. 64-22 on the text line, watching Tiger Woods in the crowd, and the crowd following him to the 18th green at the 2018 PGA Championships. Another one, 94-16. Catch I was actually referring to was Dwight Clark against the Cowboys. Okay, thanks, 94-16. More pouring in here. 6-0-0-9, Iowa football beating number 2, Penn State. A lot of great upsets in that regard. We need to get to a break, our last one of the day, and perhaps get to more tests before the end of the program. This is the Gym Class on KGYM.
Are you remodeling this summer? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. Hardware? They've got it. Looking for new cabinets? They're happy to help you design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And of course, they have decorative shiplap and beautiful trim, too. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Goodyear knows why we all love basketball. It's the sound of the buzzer, the roar of the crowd, the swish of the net. It's the spin on the ball as it's released, the squeaking sneakers before an inbound pass, the timeout that gives us perspective on the moment. We love basketball because we love movement. And now that it's back, we're asking you, the fans, what moves you? Goodyear, more driven.
Today, pros have to do whatever it takes. The Home Depot is here to make that easier. We've got the products you know and trust on our app. Delivery options to get what you need exactly where you need it. And a delivery tracker that keeps you up to date on the status of your order, so you can keep doing what you do best. Whatever it takes to get the job done. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
I saved big money with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, so I finally bought that new set of golf clubs. Watch out, fairway, here I come!
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big with Progressive, but your other expenses won't just disappear. Are those clubs going to help you when the hot water heater dies? Also, it sounds like your money is better spent on golf lessons.
Time to go shoot the course record!
No, but maybe time for a reality check. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey race fans, Marty Smith here. Is there a hometown original hero in your hometown who's gone above and beyond in serving your local community during this year's pandemic? If so, Smithfield wants to help you honor them. Share their stories and feature their names on the Smithfield No. 10 race car later this year at Martinsville. So whether your hero is a nurse, EMT, police officer, or grocery store worker, nominate them at SmithfieldHometownHeroes.com and upload a one-minute video that tells their story. Contest ends September 13th, 2020. No purchase necessary.
Stop number 2 on a 3-city road trip. Twins and the Royals open up the weekend from Kauffman Stadium on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis, 6:30 pregame, 7:05 start. Devin Smeltzer and Jacob Junis, the pitching matchup on Friday on your home for Twins baseball.
On 107.5 FM, Jim OT.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. Just a little more than a minute left on today's program as we complete the first week of August. Super glad you were with us today. And we'll rejoin us on Monday. Actually, stay with us for the next 2 hours, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Our topic today, just through the roof, texts I can't even get to because of time constraints, but I can't sift through all of them. Hopefully, somebody mentioned Rob Hotland's kick in 1985 to beat Michigan in the number one versus number two game. And maybe we'll revisit this topic, Buttons, because this is over the top.
This is a great topic today.
PGA Championship, Zach Johnson is on the course. He has completed his first hole with a par, has hit a terrific second shot out of a fairway bunker on number 2 to within 10 or 12 feet. We'll see if he can make that. Tonight, Twins and Royals, 6:30 on 107.5, and NBA action, Boston and Toronto, 7:30, 1600, 102.3, 106.3 FM. And this weekend will not only continue with Twins baseball, but have radio coverage of the PGA Championship. Go to kgymradio.com for more information. Buttons, thanks so much.
Of course. You have a great weekend.
We'll talk to you all on Monday, folks.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with